Now we begin the 17th chapter of Joshua. And in this chapter we have the giving of the lot to the tribe of Manasseh, which was the other son of Joseph. Whereas in the previous chapter we had the giving of the lot to the tribe of Ephraim. Verse 1, there was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph, to wit, for Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead. Because he was a man of war, therefore he had Gilead and Bashan. Now let's look at this first verse. We have here the account given to this tribe of Manasseh, and he says, for he was the firstborn of Joseph. Now what this probably means is though he was the firstborn of Joseph, because he did not receive the most choice inheritance, the blessing wasn't given to him as the firstborn, so this probably should read, though he was the firstborn of Joseph. He received a lesser benefit, really, than Ephraim did. For Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead. Now, Machir was born to Manasseh while he was still in Egypt, and he was noted as a man of war, and so here he's called the firstborn of Manasseh, and he was the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war. Therefore, he had Gilead and Bashan. Now, the other sons of Machir, his descendants, besides Gilead, were given the territory, as you know, east of the Jordan River. Approximately half this tribe settled east of the Jordan River. And so he says, therefore, he had Gilead and Bashan. He's describing those two principal areas of that land east of Jordan. But now, the tribe that's going to settle on this side of Jordan, that is west of Jordan, in the land of Canaan proper, they will be the descendants of another son of Machir, known as Gilead. And this is told about in verse 2. There was also a lot for the rest of the children of Manasseh by their families, for the children of, and then he names the six sons here, of Gilead. So let's name those sons. The children of Abiezer, for the children of Helek, for the children of Asriel, for the children of Shechem, for the children of Hepher, and for the children of Shemida. These were the male children of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, by their families. So here we have six sons, and it's going to be divided among these six sons. But now we have a situation that arose that's going to change this division from six portions into 10 portions. And we read on now in verse 3. But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons but daughters. So one of these six sons didn't have any sons to follow him. He only had daughters. He had five daughters. And now he's going to name these daughters. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahlah and Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. Now, since these daughters were the only descendants of Hepher, then ordinarily they would have had no territory given to the descendants of Hepher because they were allotted out to the sons. But we find that before they came into Canaan, that these five daughters of Zelophehad approached Noah, and they got Noah to give them a special allotment so that they would have an inheritance as though they had been the sons. And so he tells about this in the fourth verse. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their father. So these daughters, not wanting to be left out of their part of the inheritance, when it came down to time to divide the land, they came to the priest and to Joshua and to these princes, as they no doubt were assembled to make some of the decisions needed to be made as they allotted this land by lots. And they reminded them then of the fact that the Lord did command Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. They didn't want to be left out of this. And Evidently, Joshua was well aware of this, and a simple reminder was all he needed, because he says, "Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their father." So he says in verse 5, "And there fell 10 portions to Manasseh, besides the land of Gilead and Bashan, which were on the other side Jordan." So, due to the fact then that Hefer's 5 daughters received an inheritance, instead of his sons, this was divided into 10 portions. Now, we do not know whether they were 10 equal portions or whether these 5 daughters divided up the 6th portion that would have been Hefer's and made 5 portions out of it. That's not clear, but it was divided into 10 portions, and there's a good chance that this might have been divided into 10 equal portions, because it's just not really that clear about it here. And so he concludes in verse 6 by saying, "Because the daughters of Manasseh had an inheritance among his sons, and the rest of Manasseh's sons had the land of Gilead." So he distinctly clarifies the fact that half of them are settling on the east side of Jordan, half of them on the west side of Jordan. East side had the territories of Gilead and Bashan, and the west side then had these 10 portions that were assigned to them, 5 to the sons of Gilead who had sons to take the inheritance, and then another 5 portions to the 5 daughters of Hefer, who had been given a special consignment by Moses then to be able to receive an inheritance. Now, this story of Zelophehad's daughters is a little bit more complicated than it appears here as given in this passage. So I'd like to turn to Numbers 36, and beginning with the 6th verse, read more of the details of it. "This is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, Let them marry to whom they think best, only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter that possesseth an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his fathers. Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another tribe, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. Even as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. For Milhah, Tirzah, and Hoglah, and Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married unto their father's brother's sons. And they were married into the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses unto the children of Israel in the plains of Moab, by Jordan, near Jericho." So that's Numbers 36, 6 through 13. And he simply states there that these daughters were to marry into the family of this tribe, of the descendants of Manasseh. And they did do that. So as we see, they got 5 portions here, 5 of the 10 portions. They were really also inherited by other sons of the descendants of Manasseh, for these daughters did marry those sons. And so this was God's will, for this land to stay within the tribes and for the marriages to stay within the tribes. They weren't to marry out of their own tribe. They could marry who they wanted to, only marry in their tribe. And the same principle follows today in the church. We in the church are to marry other members of the church. For to do otherwise places a very severe burden upon us as we attempt to serve the true and living God. We will close at that point. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.